Hi, and welcome to another edition of Stories of the Pulse brought to you by Waterbury Health. My name is Jeremy Rodrigo, and I'm your host. And today I'm delighted to have with me a woman who's been in the news for a project that she started with the Naugatuck Police Department and other police departments to aid and care for children with special needs, autistic children, so that the police and other first responders can better respond to calls for service that involve people with special needs. So I'd like to welcome Jen Harding.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jen, tell me a little bit about your program that you started with Chief McAllister and the Naugatuck Police Department, and how it has kind of flourished and grown. Well, first of all, what's it about?
It's a form that parents of individuals with autism can fill out to basically give emergency responders a cheat sheet of information about the individual. Medical conditions, noises, if they don't like noises, if they don't like lights, if they'll run away. Their actual, if they're communicating, if they communicate by sign language, if they're nonverbal, their emergency contact information, their height, their weight. The forms are handed in with a picture of the child, and the back of the form I left blank so that the parents could put on there any information that might be helpful. So on my child's form, for example, I put that he loves Toy Story and Disney Pixar, because any person that's going to approach Derek, or Derek would approach them, will have a phone.
Right.
And could pull up Toy Story and instantly calm him down.
So have you had experience personally, or people that you know have had experience, where maybe first responders, police, fire, EMS, have interacted with a child with special needs and maybe things didn't go as well as they could have, or maybe they were more traumatic than they could have been for
I've
that child?
I've read about incidences. I've known families who've had incidences, and Derek's had experiences at big hospitals where staff just didn't know or didn't get it, didn't want to listen to mom.
Yeah.
And it's hard because I've been doing this for 11 years and there's days I can't calm him down.
Right. You have lived experience with your child, and the, you know, the real thing is that we want these children that to be taken care of, whatever their crisis or a medical emergency may be. We want them to be cared for with kindness and with compassion and competence, of course. And so, in your experience with a child who is autistic and is 11 years old now, you've been at this for 11 years. He was diagnosed when he was 2, I believe.
The day before his second birthday.
So tell me about the frustrations that maybe you have felt dealing with, let's just start with first responders, with maybe first responders. Have you had frustrations? Not that they were doing anything wrong or inappropriate, but just the level of awareness, I guess.
There's teachers in schools that are supposed to be specialized in dealing with these kids, and sometimes they don't even know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, you're completely unaware of it. I was thinking about, Derek was diagnosed in 2011. And I was thinking back to when I was a kid, and I grew up in the late 80s, and you never even heard of autism.
Right.
You know, I think I looked it up, and the numbers were 1 in 1,000 when I was a kid. When Derek was diagnosed in 2011, it was 1 in 110. It's now 1 in 44 children. And you don't understand this life, no matter how much you want to, until you live it.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, and this is where I think that this form that you've created is a little kind of like a window into that child's life for someone who needs just a snapshot of what's going on. And so tell me what's on the form. You told me about, you know, some of the kids' likes and dislikes, but what else is on the form? You said height, weight, and things like that.
Parents' information, emergency contact. My biggest thing was if Derek was, we got in a car accident last November and we were rear-ended, and I said if I wasn't coherent, there'd be people approaching the car, they would just let him out of the car seat, and he was going to take off.
Right.
He doesn't understand strangers, or if a, you know, a policeman or EMT are safe for him to go to. I don't think he would leave me if I was incapacitated and I couldn't get out of the car, but I'm like, he can't tell him anything.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if sirens would upset him. So if we're in an accident or there's a fire or there's any type of emergency, typically when everybody rolls up, there's lights, sirens,
sure.
You know, yeah. Tons of people.
The whole thing. And everyone assumes that my uniform or my badge or whatever
is
I'm the good guy. And everyone recognizes,
right.
Universal, everyone knows I'm a good guy. And
that's, you're safe.
And that's not necessarily the case with an autistic child.
I don't think Derek would have any idea. We're working on a program now to, opposed to showing him a picture of an officer and of just a random person and being safe, not safe.
Right.
But nobody, you know, Derek can't talk, so I don't know if he understands what we're teaching him, but we're trying.
And so that's got to be a level of frustration for you, right?
It's scary.
I mean, it's scary. Actually scary.
It's truly scary because, I don't know, I have MS. And a couple years ago, we had an episode. I got up in the middle of the night, and the doctors now think that I had a seizure.
Right.
But I went to go back in my room, fell down, hit my head on the dresser. And I was out for about 45 minutes. But back then is when I started to realize if I didn't wake up, this child would have gotten up in the morning, can't call 911. Who knows how long you would have been in the house.
Right.
And it's... Every day is scary.
If he would have left the house and, you know,
who
God
knows?
Forbid.
And he's taken off on me before.
Yeah.
He is, when it's gorgeous like it is today outside, he wants to be outside. So my house is like Fort Knox.
Right.
I'm always worried if something happens and somebody had to get in the house, they would have to bring wire cutters to get in the house because of the locks I have on the doors.
Right. Because your instinct, your mother instinct is keep my child safe, right? And for me, I have two children, and when they were growing up, that wasn't a thought, how much my house had to be locked down,
right?
For you, that's a consideration. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to lock this place down so that my child, who wants to leave and doesn't know, you know, a stranger versus, you know, danger versus not, you know, safe, that's a big deal. And that's a consideration. And so you got into a car accident, and that made you think, if I was incapacitated in this car accident, I would have to rely on the police officers or EMS to know what to do or do the right thing or understand that my child who's nonverbal has special needs and needs to be cared for. And you weren't 100% sure of that, right? You weren't like that you didn't have that comfort level. And me, I've been an EMS first responder for 30 something years. If I saw an 11-year-old child who didn't look disabled, right?
You can't.
I wouldn't know.
You can't tell looking at Derek.
Right.
You would have no idea. You would think that he was just, if it was an example of an emergency, you would think, you know, he was in shock, that he just wasn't speaking.
Right.
You would have absolutely no idea. But then again, there's nothing on my car, there's nothing when you run my plates that's going to say that Derek has epilepsy, that he's nonverbal, that all he has is his mom. They'd have none of that information. So this sheet gives them a cheat sheet.
How do the officers on the street get that cheat sheet? How do they physically see it?
Naugatuck started this program with me, and all the sheets and photos of the children are kept in a binder in dispatch.
Okay.
They also flagged the addresses of the children and their names in CAD, which is their database. So the second the call comes in, there's an alert.
So the dispatcher, CAD is called computer-aided dispatch, and so the dispatcher sees when they type in the address, a flag pops up, says, wait a minute, this is something we need to check the book.
Yes.
Right? The dispatcher then checks the book and says, hey, Derek, 11 years old, here's all the demographics about Derek and all the things that are important for my officers to know.
I truly felt like I was doing a tremendous thing when we went to Naugatuck Police Station and I thought Derek was going to be the first one in the book.
Yeah.
And when we opened the book, the gentleman that was working in dispatch that day turned around and looked at me and smiled and said, thank you, that's my son. And his son was in the book first.
Isn't that something? Now, you've also, aside from Chief McAllister and the Naugatuck Police, you've also been contacted by other police departments who are interested in this. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I am trying to work and raise my son and run this crazy program I started. And my first was Naugatuck, and then Prospect, Beacon Falls, Seymour, Shelton, Ansonia, Monroe, Newtown, Meriden I spoke with today, and then Paul Vance and I had known each other from a couple years ago, and I reached out to him, and now we have some state troopers that are getting involved, so hopefully we can get it to all 11 of the state trooper dispatch centers.
That makes a lot of sense. So anywhere in the state, and parents or caregivers of people with special needs just have to know that they can contact their local police department and see if it's available, right? In
so
those communities that
all
you
the
mentioned.
Police stations will have it, and then I run an autism walk every year.
Okay.
To spread awareness for these kids to feel included. And when we started this, I'm like, there's going to be questions. There's going to be so many questions. So we started a Facebook page called Walk with Derek, and it's got an email address attached to it that people can reach out to me, and I will help in any way I can. There's a couple families in Naugatuck. I'm like, I'll email it to you. I'll bring it to you. I'll bring it to the police station for you. In Naugatuck, we're actually on May 28th going to have a meet and greet, so all the kids can come down and see the police station and the cruisers and the officers and the dogs and, you know, get a little glimpse of it, so maybe they'll feel more comfortable if there's ever a time of need.
Right, if they ever encounter a uniformed Naugatuck police officer or other police officer, they'll have at least a recollection that that was a good time, it was a good experience.
Yes.
You
get
the,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so you mentioned that you have a job, and so I'm interested in, how do you manage this grassroots organization that you started? I don't know whether it was inadvertently or by happenstance, but how do you manage that with trying to be a mom to an 11-year-old autistic child and have a job? How do you balance
that? The last two weeks, I don't know how we've made it through. I had surgery on my eye 2 weeks ago. This Thursday, I'm having my gallbladder taken out. Literally, on my way to work in the morning, I'm on the phone with this police chief. On my lunch break, when I get home from work, Derek has therapists in the house from 3 to 6 every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to do both at the same time. Mother's Day, yesterday morning, I said, I'm not working on it today. You know, I said, I get a little break today, and people were emailing me, and I responded. Because I just think this is so important. You know, there was a child in Naugatuck couple weeks ago, and Naugatuck PD was looking for him, and Oxford ended up picking him up. Autistic child, and it's just scary, and it happens so often that the faster we get it up and running, hopefully we can avoid situations where they, you know, a child is scared and runs further. And there's been, I don't know, the last year, I want to say 3 incidences, not in Connecticut, but that there's children that have disappeared and never come back home.
Yeah.
And I, if doing this helps avoid that happening for any family,
right,
that's all that
matters.
That's
the family's worst nightmare, right?
Yeah.
And it's got to be terrifying for you, you know, to think about that.
I don't remember the last time I went to bed at night and before I fell asleep, I started to drift into a dream about chasing him. He's so fast, and he's smart, and when he wants something, he's going to go. Like, he's very visual, so I'm always worried he'll know if we're home and I don't have that door locked, that he's going to know to go out the door and what way to go to get to where he wants to go.
Yeah.
And he likes water, but he can doggy paddle about 4 feet, but he can't really swim
right
yet. So we have Bomber's Pond, we have bodies of water all over the place. It scares me to death.
It's got to be exhausting.
Right? I'll sleep someday.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine it. It sounds to me like it's mentally and probably physically exhausting to have that constant heightened sense of awareness, right? I mean, I guess I'm stating the obvious, right?
It is, you know, but people don't realize that.
Right.
People really don't. They don't understand. And I don't remember the last time I was fully relaxed, that I wasn't worried about it. I mean, you know, and Derek is the happiest, sweetest boy. We have a tremendous relationship with Board of Ed in Naugatuck now. And we joke around all the time that they're his co-parent because they just, you fall in love with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, these kids deserve to have a life that they can enjoy and be happy and be safe.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. And now, with this program that you created, where do you envision it going as we get more? You mentioned that on your way to work, you hear from police chiefs and police departments, and you're trying to juggle all this. Where do you envision this program moving as we move along into the future? Do you see it becoming kind of across the board everywhere as, I don't want to say mandate, but an expectation?
I hope so. And I actually am meeting with a state representative tomorrow to talk about this. Her, she has her own experiences with autism. I have phone calls to make to Colorado because I have a woman here in Connecticut that asked me, how do I do this? How do I get this out to Colorado? And then through an acquaintance, I have requests for it to also be in Hawaii.
Wow.
So to me, the further it spreads, the better.
Wow.
How I'm going to get it all done?
Just going to say, because, and just for the record, you're not compensated for this. This isn't, you know, a part-time job. No. You haven't started a nonprofit. This is just Jen Harding doing her
thing.
This
is every time I'm not with my son, like right now, he's home with my mom, but he's fast and he's smart.
Yeah.
This is every time I see it happen to another child, it destroys me.
Yeah.
Destroys me. There was a little boy in New York City that there's now a law in New York because he got out of a school and never got to go home to his mom again. And I can't even think about that without, it absolutely breaks my heart. Nobody should ever have to lose a child, especially from something like this.
Right. And you mentioned the Board of Ed in Naugatuck, and we know that they're good people. How have they been an asset to you in terms of...
They have been absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. I actually was emailing with Mayor Hess, and I told him, I said, we've lived in another town where I had to pull Derek out of public school, put him in private school. I said, and I wish every parent got to experience what I'm experiencing in Naugatuck.
With the Naugatuck Board of Ed.
They were incredible. Derek was at school, and they went to observe him at school one day, and he was asking on his device for vanilla wafers, but Derek's gluten-free.
Right.
And I didn't know. School wasn't telling me, and he hadn't asked me at home. Board of Ed sent a whole case of them to my house. Like, they have been just unbelievable. I could pinch myself because you can't. You just, with everything that's going on in the world right now, I get that people are scared and don't trust anybody, and I'm had this incredible luck.
Yeah. Well, and that makes it easier for you, right? I mean, you're a parent struggling to, like everybody else, in middle class work and home and all this, but you have that extra layer of Derek. And to know that the Board of Ed and the people who are responsible for your child's education and oftentimes safety are responsive and have your back and are collaborative and are open to learning about your child and making sure, all those things,
when
right?
When Naugatuck found out that I did the form, and that, you know, I have to thank Chief McAllister too, because if I went to him and I approached him with it and he said no, I don't know if I would have kept going.
Yeah. Well, but Colin McAllister, I've known for many years. He's a good man.
But once they picked it up, and I was telling Melissa Carbone, who's the pupil coordinator for Naugatuck, about it, she's like, we're sending it out district-wide email. So all the teachers that have students with special needs can send it home, so it's even more available to the families. And the other towns that have signed on, I have spoken with most of the Board of Eds. So once I get the, you know, the A-OK from the police, then I'll move it further. So it's a lot of emailing and a lot of phone calls, but it's all worth it.
Is there an opportunity for people who are interested in helping you in some volunteer capacity to help you, or is it? I don't want to add the burden of managing people.
It would be great. It's a matter of, you know, police have a schedule.
Yeah.
I have a schedule. So it's a lot of voicemails and going back and forth. And, you know, I was on the phone with the state trooper from Oxford today, and he's like, I'm sorry, we're playing phone tag. And it's just back and forth and back and forth. So.
And you and I did that, too. I mean, we went back and forth with email. Yeah. I give you a lot of credit. I mean, to take on something that you thought, maybe you thought it was going to be manageable, like a little project that you were going to help.
I didn't think, I just knew several kids in Naugatuck have similar characteristics like my son. And I know that we've had two runners in Naugatuck. And I figured, when we moved to Naugatuck, almost 3 years ago, and when we moved here, I said to myself, I need to go to the police station. I'm going to introduce Derek. I'm going to bring his picture, and I'm just going to tell them, just so I've made the attempt.
Right.
And life runs away from us.
Yeah.
I never had the time, and then the last couple months, other things happened out of state with other children, and I was like, I need to get this done now.
And it's so much easier when everyone is in line and cooperating, and it. There's a spirit of collaboration, right, to get it done.
Like,
you didn't have to fight with Chief McAllister
or
Mayor
Not
Hess.
Not at all.
You didn't have to fight for his time or his...
This town has been absolutely incredible. I couldn't ask for anything better. I hold the Autism Walk every year. We raise, you know, over $5,000, and I give it to a nonprofit that has something to do with autism or special needs. And when I called Mayor Hess last year, he said, absolutely, you can have the green, you can have Linden Park, you can have porta potties, anything you want, you tell me. You want the police, you want this, and I was like, I was shocked. I didn't expect the warm welcome that I got.
Yeah.
I didn't expect the man to go, here's the key to town, do what you want.
Well, Mayor Hess is a big heart, for sure.
Incredible, absolutely incredible.
For sure.
I've never witnessed, emergency personnel and the town officials so involved.
So. When is the Autism Walk held?
We're going to do it this year, the first Saturday of October.
First Saturday of October.
Yeah. I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're taping this. We're on the town green. If you hear some background noise and traffic and children running around, it's because we're enjoying a beautiful day on the Naugatuck town green. And so the Autism Walk is here on the town green in October.
Yes.
And so obviously the details might not be ready yet because we're taping this episode.
I've had so many people ask me, and with Derek moving schools right now and me having a little tiny surgery this week, I'm like, one thing at a time.
Right, right.
You know, and I mean, last year, I think I had a month to put the walk together last year, and it was still tremendous.
Yeah, good. Well, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, and if anybody wants to either learn about this form that you've created to help keep children safe, or the Autism Walk, or anything else that you may be able to help them with. And I'm not volunteering you out for more stuff to do. How should they get a hold of you?
There's a Facebook page is Walk with Derek, D-E-R-E-K. And then the email is walkwithderek@gmail.com.
So Walk with Derek, D-E-R-E-K. On Facebook or walkwithderek@gmail.com.
Yes.
And so, Jen Harding, I want to take the time to just say thank you for sharing some of your experiences and also for stepping up on behalf of parents and children with autism and the people that love them to make sure that people who are responding to emergencies that involve children with special needs are cared for in the way that they should be and they deserve to be. And I really want to thank you for taking your time and doing that, because I understand that it was probably, maybe you didn't understand what a big task or what it would turn into, but it has gratefully, I think, and amazingly blown up, right?
It has.
Blown up into something.
I did not expect this.
And the people that you're going to be helping, people you don't even know. Right.
Just the just in the 2 weeks that it's been happening, the thank yous I've gotten have made me cry because I truly understand.
Right. You understand what it's like. You understand that what they're going through. It's a life.
It is. It's.
Yeah. Jen Harding, thank you again. I really do appreciate you taking the time, and I encourage anyone who wants to learn more about this to go to Walk with Derek on Facebook, or even email Jen. She may not answer right away because she may be inundated.
I'm trying.
She will try at walkwithderek@gmail.com. I'm Jeremy Rodrigo for Waterbury Health Stories at a Pulse. Thanks, and we'll catch you next time.